The 1895 podcast is brought to you by Off the Ball, official media partner of Shelburne FC. The 1895, the official Shelburne podcast, exclusive to Patreon.
The ball sinks in towards where Jamie Rogers is up. Rogers sees the left!
I'm angry, Tony, I have to be honest.
Murray! Marjorie Shelburne! Noelle Murray! Has she won it for the Reds? What a goal!
Here's a chance up! Shane Farrell! And Shelsley 2-0!
I'm sorry, Tony, but I'm angry as well. I was angry before the game. I've been angry for a long time.
And she gets the winning goal here. Slattery! Into the back of the net! That is what champions do! That is what winners do! Pearl Slattery!
Over the top by Sullivan. Hughes, goal! Shelburne lead!
His cross, Stephen Davis!
Kilduff is the substitute and he scored! Shell's lead!
We are in to the 94th minute
and it's all over! Shelburne FC are first division champions!
It's our just reward. We deserve this. We deserve this big time.
Here's your host, Stephen Doody.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the 1895 podcast, the official Shelburne Football Club podcast, as always, brought to you in association with our proud media partners, Off the Ball. I'm joined this evening by my co-commentator on the LOI TV for the Women's Premier Division for the first time on the 1895 podcast, Shauna Cook. Shauna, first of all, welcome to the show. Secondly, how are you getting on?
That's a lovely introduction, Adzie. Thanks very much. You made it sound like I wasn't the last minute choice.
You weren't, Shauna. Sure, I asked you to come on last week and you're like, oh, I'm too busy, I'm making brownies and stuff. So it's good to finally get you on. As is kind of tradition with this podcast, Steve has created this tradition when getting new guests on. You have to answer a series of questions. Now, last week, Adam done them. And in fact, he was often in the gantry with us looking after the, like, I suppose, the difficult part of the coverage. And he, I'm not going to say he done well. He done all right, I suppose. But it's a tough task to follow, Shauna. But obviously, your question is going to be different because you've played football. You've been in the League of Ireland and stuff. So I suppose, Shauna, the first question I'm going to throw at you is the best player you played with and why?
Oh, okay. Is this just in general?
It's just in general, yeah.
Okay. Best player I've played with. I'd have to say Ciara Grant. And when I say Ciara Grant, I mean like Arsenal Ciara Grant. Shell's Ciara Grant was excellent as well, I have to say that. But Arsenal Ciara Grant, she was just like the ultimate pro. Brilliant professional. And I think just one of those kind of footballers that if you were maybe not on our team, you didn't really see the value in Ciara, but when you got to play alongside her and train alongside her, you just seeing the complete athlete she was, and she was a fantastic captain as well. And for me, she was very, very helpful for my early career, and someone I would have looked up to a lot.
Yeah, I suppose brings on to the next question. Who's your toughest opponent that you played against?
Oh, toughest opponent. I'm gonna have to say two players for this. The first one is in England. We played a couple of times against the young Jill Scott, and she absolutely left me in ribbons a few times. We actually ended up in hospital and all after one time. We used to have a few good battles. And then in Ireland, I'd probably say the toughest opponent, Kylie Murphy, just because she's relentless in her dedication to being the best player on the pitch.
I suppose, what's the best stadium you played in, Shauna, and why?
Oh, that's an easy one, Talca Park.
I was about to say, other than Talca Park.
Other than Talca Park, I actually like Galway in DC Park. I think it's a lovely stadium and there's always a good buzz down there. the pitch is always in great nick as well. Few of the Dublin clubs could take a leaf out of their book.
Yeah, absolutely. Who was your funniest teammate, Shauna?
Funniest teammates, again, geez, I'd have two. John Daly, ex Shells and Raheny player, and then I'd have to say her partner in crime, Noel Murray.
What's your best memory playing football?
Best memory, I think for me, playing out in Kazan with the World Students, the Irish World Student team, it was just a fantastic experience. Just my luck, I went and broke my foot after the third game, but the first two games were brilliant. We played against China and Canada, and it was such a great experience, and we had a fantastic team. So yeah, definitely say that'd be up there.
Who was your favourite footballer growing up?
My favourite footballer, it was a bit of a random one. I don't know why it was, but it was Edgar Davids.
Edgar Davids. For Spurs?
I'm a bit older than that now. I would have seen Edgar Davids play in a World Cup. I remember my dad bought me a jersey on holidays. He said I could pick any jersey, and I picked the Dutch jersey. It was the blue one with the blue orange stripes down the sides and the big legs. And he asked me what name I wanted to get on the back of it, and I said Edgar Davids. I don't know why, but I was just fascinated with him.
Yeah, he was a cracking player, wasn't he? He used to wear coloured glasses, didn't he?
Yeah, that's probably why. Being half blind himself.
So what team did you support growing up?
Do you know what, when I was younger, obviously people know this about me from football, I would have been, my best friend growing up was Gary Deegan, and Gary was a big United fan, so I kind of, I think, default followed United because Gary did. But as I got a little bit older, I didn't really have any interest in English football, and my dad would have brought me to Tolka Park and to Daly Mount a lot growing up. So I just kind of fell in love with Irish football, and that's probably where my heart lay. Between unfortunately, I would say I did have a bit of a love for Bowes when I was younger. When Nutty Fennel was there, but equally, a big part of my heart for Shells. But the team I like watching the most, and I've liked watching the most over the years, Barcelona or Ajax.
Scrandall, that's been the 1895 podcast for sure. I'm only wasn't. So it's Paul Shauna. We'll get on to the other questions now, but your earliest memory of Shells, and you said you were about going about the bowls on Shells, but what's the earliest memory you have of Shells?
My earliest memory of Shells probably being about 10 or 11, and running up at Talca Park, and the groundsmen aiming there, trying to ring you by the neck to stop you from running on the pitch at the end of the game, and trying to slide tackle everybody. That was always the best moment of Friday nights in Talca Park.
So we'll end on these three questions now, Shauna. A night in or a night out?
Night in. Have no time for people.
What's your favourite artist or song ever?
I listen to one playlist all the time on podcasts, and to be honest with you, my shower music is ABBA.
Oh yeah, well you can't beat ABBA now, friends. What's your favourite ABBA song?
I like a bit of Waterloo, Dancing Queen kind of gets me going,
Yeah, you can't beat it now. In fairness, the next question I have, I was asked this when I was in a job interview, so this is why I'm asking this. What's your, first of all, your favourite film that you'd let people know? But what's your guilty pleasure film that you wouldn't let people know? And my answer to this question was, I think it was a Tarantino film, so it was like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood or whatever. And then the guilty pleasure film was Mamma Mia. So you've kind of outed me here, Shauna, but what's your favourite film ever, and what's your guilty pleasure film?
I'm not a big film person, to be honest with you. I can't sit still for 2 minutes. My favourite film would probably be The Goonies. Chunk myself these days.
same fairness.
And my guilty pleasure, God, I think
probably the guilties.
The Zoolander, I'd have to say Zoolander, Muriel's Wedding.
Well, Zoolander's a cracker film, to be fair. Yeah. They're not bad choices, Sean. I think you've gotten through these questions with flying colours, in fairness to you.
I'm sweating here.
But you were asked earlier, you were like, do I have to prepare anything for it? I was like, yeah, we're just going to be talking about this, but I will be asking serious questions that I can't tell you, so I think you've done well. But we'll move on, we'll get on to the weekend that was for Shells, a big weekend for Shells, as it always is. Two massive games in the men's Premier Division and of course the women's Premier Division as well. And we'll start off on Friday evening live on Virgin Media. Shelbourne 1, St. Patrick's Athletic 0. Oh, sorry, hold on, I'm not saying it wrong. Pats 1, Shells 0. Yeah, it's been a long day, Shauna. Yeah. Pats get the win in Talca Park, a big win for them. It was young Sam Curtis on the score sheet from another set piece that put Pats 1 up in the end. So, Shauna, what were your initial thoughts after the game?
I think frustration, again, like another set piece. I didn't really think we looked like scoring in the game. Like even when we were applying the most pressure to Pats, I didn't think we looked half as dangerous enough as we should have done against the team of that quality. And as the minutes are taken by, I felt like it was just a matter of time. And then, yeah, it was, in fairness to Curtis, it was a very well taken goal for a lad as young as he is. But again, I just think that it's the defending from set pieces has been atrocious.
Yeah, and I think it's something that you look at the defence on the day. So it was Daryl Wilson, Luke Bourne, Shane Griffin at the back for Shells. And look, it's very good back three. But you compare it to the three that started the season, it would have been, you know, Paddy Barrett, who was missing on the day, Luke Bourne, of course. And then it would have been Gavin Malloy. So, you know, Duffer's stated himself that they have got a lot of injuries at the minute and there's players to come back. Do you think that has much of an effect on the likes of set pieces? I know Shells have conceded a lot of goals from set pieces, but no. Does the kind of disruption in defence affect that in any way?
No. I think I really like Duffer, I really do. But I don't think you can use that as a reason or an excuse. Like defending set pieces is 101 for elite footballers, let alone professional footballers. So it's the simple thing is you mark a player and you don't let them be forced to the ball. And, you know, it's nothing to do with injuries or not. Every player in that squad should know how to defend their rocks from set pieces. And I think there's probably been a lot of focus on it. And sometimes that can play on your mind as a player, you know, when you've maybe conceded a few from set pieces, each time there is a set piece, a free kick or a corner, you're probably thinking, oh, is this going to be another one? And you're overthinking it. But equally, I just think the defending has been very bad. And it was a great run by Curtis. And I think there was a little bit of a block in it as well. But look, it's just not good enough, I think, for lads playing at that level.
How do you rectify something like that, Shauna?
Yeah, I mean, like, they've got training sessions to do, but equally I think it's about sitting down and watching it back and people taking responsibility and holding people accountable. Like, you know, the way I see it is once is a mistake and twice is habit. And you know, you do have to say to people, look, if you're not up to it, there's a bench there that you can keep warm.
Yeah, and as I said, it was J.R. Wilson playing the centre half role on Friday evening. A position that he wouldn't be too familiar with, but he's, I think the thing with JR and Tariq, the same on the left side, they're always 110%, you know, effort from them and very good quality on and off the ball. What did you make of his performance on the night?
JR's?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, he's a player that plays with his heart and he's full of passion and I think he gives everything for Shells and as fans, that's all we can ask for is that the lads go out there and give everything. You know, I think he's having a good season. You know, there's been a few mistakes in games, a few costly mistakes, but as you said there, he's gone in at centre-half and he's playing in a team now with a lot of talent and quality around him and sometimes you do have to be accommodating when you're asked to go into different positions. But look, that goes to show you the type of player that Duff sees him as and has the confidence in him to put him in there and trust him. And he's got to take confidence in that for himself and you know, believe that he's good enough to play there. And you know, someone like Duff wouldn't put him there if he didn't believe in him. But you know, I think both him and Tyreek, I've enjoyed watching them this year. They bring a bit of spice to the team, and that's something that, again, as a fan, like, you just want to see players that will go in wholeheartedly in every single game and every tackle.
Yeah, I think it's been a bit of a team of Duff's side since he's come into the club, where he has lads playing positions that they might be, you know, too familiar with, and I think it shows the real quality. Like, JR stepped in midfield, and you know, I think another name is Shane Farrell. He came back into the side again, his first game at home in the league since being sent off against Dundalk, and I thought he did very well on the day, playing the right wing back role again, a position he's very comfortable in. But I don't know about yourself, Sean. I personally would probably prefer to see him a bit further up the pitch.
Yeah, look, I actually think the opposite. I don't think he's been great this year in comparison to where he was last season or seasons before. But again, like, I think Duff has kind of taken the team up a notch, and it's going to take lads a bit of time to get used to that. You know, especially lads like Shane, who've kind of, you know, accelerated their development over the past few years. And yeah, I agree with you. I think he's better higher up the pitch. He's more effective. Look, his deliveries into the box are fantastic. Like, I think he put one in the first half. It was the first time when he wrapped his foot around it, and, you know, it was so dangerous. And you're saying to yourself, if he can get into a habit of doing this over the next 60 minutes, we'll be laughing. But yeah, I think obviously with having to kind of accommodate in that defensive role, it's probably not playing to Shane's strengths. But unfortunately for Shane, like, it's a team effort, and he's going to have to dig in and get used to maybe doing those defensive duties a little bit more, and knowing when to make those runs and when to put the ball in the box. And it's a different role maybe than what he's used to, and he hasn't got as much freedom maybe as he'd like. But again, just for him being in a team with the likes of Duff and O'Brien guiding, you know, they won't see him wrong.
Yeah, I think the side on Friday probably looked like a side who, for me, no, I'm not going to say struggled with injuries, because you can't say that with a team that's just been, you know, 8 games unbeaten. But it looked like it was a team that were, you know, maybe on their last legs at times. You know, I thought Caffrey, Mark Coyle and JJ Lunny in midfield did very well again. But I just thought going forward, they lacked that penetration from Moylan and Matty Smith. So that's kind of where I'm coming from with maybe having Shane forward up the pitch and making that three midfield, the two, and then the two up top of three. What did you make of Matty Smith and Jack Moyle on Friday? It was a bit of more of a quiet occasion for them than what it has been this season.
Yeah, look, again, Jack, someone who's been fantastic for Shells, and you know, he gives everything, but I do think there's an over reliance on him, and we have to learn how to play without Jack, because there's kind of come a time when he's not there anymore. You know, he keeps putting in performances like he has done, and he'll be off, whether it's to a Rovers or a Derry, or even, you know, I've heard rumours of him heading over the water. And he's got talent, and we have to learn how to play without him. And I just felt like Pat's done really well at containing him. And, you know, in those circumstances, as a team around someone like Jack and players, you have to realise it's not his day to day. We have to find the answer somewhere else. And it's one thing I think we're struggling at the moment. Like, obviously Sligo, he ran the show, and it's great. But then I think when Jack is either marked out of the game or he's not having the best performance, I just think it really impacts the team. And I don't think the young players have to take that on their shoulders. I think Matty was good. He grew into the game as the game went on. I thought he started off a bit quiet, and grew into it. But again, I don't think he's been as effective as he has been in previous seasons. You know, and I'm probably being a bit of me normal self, Adzie, and being a bit overcritical. I just feel like we've seen some amazing performances by Matty Smith. So he has set the bar high. And I'd love to see him just push on a little bit more for us.
Yeah, I think the lads, you said there about setting the standard, I think they're probably a victim of their own standards at time because of the shifts they've put in without Boydie up front. And I think Matty Smith, there was a point in the game where I think he'd ran a defender down, and you could just see at the end, I think they played the ball out with Forrester and Lennon, and you could just see him kind of, the energy drop from his face, and he's worked so hard, and I think we talked about it a while ago about needing a goal, and he's gotten a few goals, and I think himself and Moylan have done really well without Boyd. But as I said, I just think Friday might have been that game too much. You might have needed a few changes, you know. Speaking of the changes, Jada Kiki, Brian McManus come on for Caffrey and Coyle at the time, and I suppose probably an optimistic substitution at the time. What did you make of them coming off the bench?
Oh, Jad's a fantastic player. Like, I've watched him a few times, obviously for the seniors, and seen a few games where he's gone in with the younger lads as well, and he's so good, he's so talented. Probably from a physical perspective, he still has a bit to learn about that side of the game. You know, he came on, and he's the type of player that he's kind of like a Forrester, you know, that way. Like, he just needs one moment to try to pass through or to find a bit of space. But, you know, when you come up against Pats who are experienced and just have quality, you know, you don't have that time on the ball. You know, so, yeah, I thought he'd done well. McManus as well, done well. You know, again, like, they're young lads, and obviously, wasn't it? McManus came back from Preston, was it? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he obviously has, you know, been playing at a decent level. But I just think Pats, they're a good, experienced team. They're up against the likes of Forrester and, you know, the lads at the back, and Breslin and whatnot. Like, they're experienced lads. They know how to manage again.
Yeah, and Kyle Robinson came on. He had a good chance towards the end of the game, and I think it was Bernard O'Toole of Rage Media Sports put it well. I think Moylan put the ball in, and Robinson was there, and he got the head on it, and to be honest with you, it's from a tight angle. I don't think there was a whole lot more he could have done.
He could have scored.
That would have been handy, Sean, wouldn't it? But how have you rated him since coming in? He hasn't gotten a whole lot of minutes, but I definitely think there's a player there. And I just think, a bit like Matty Smith, if he gets a goal, I think he'll come really good.
Yeah, definitely. Like, we've seen shades of what you can do when you come on against, when you got the time against Strata, you know, he won the free kick that we scored from. And we scored from a free kick against Strata, didn't we, Adzi?
Yeah, the Caffrey goal away in Strata.
Yeah, like, that came from Kyle up front, and there's definitely a bit about him, but, like, as a striker, I think for him it's probably just getting consistent minutes, because it can be difficult as a striker coming into a game and trying to get their bearings and up to speed with the game. As you said there, like, he's probably putting the pressure on himself to get a goal. I thought his running, he done all the right things. It was just, you know, I'm again just probably being overcritical here. I would have loved to see him put it back across the keeper rather than go for that kind of tight angle. But again, you know, this is coming from an average centre half. So
the game, as I said, was on Virgin Media Sports, Sean, and I don't know if you were looking at it on Virgin Media or are you in the ground on the day?
No, I was looking at it here at home, and yeah, I was screaming at the television for 90 minutes.
What have you made of the coverage, though, from Virgin Media?
It's fantastic. Look, I think it's great that we're getting to watch more games at home, and it's great that there's more coverage. The one thing that, for me, was frustrating was there was, like, a lot of names they were getting wrong. In fairness, I think Keith Tracy, wasn't it, who was doing the co-com.
Keith Tracy, yeah.
Yeah, Keith's fantastic. I've done a bit of work with Keith, and he's the ultimate professional. He's so in tune with the players, and he really does his research. I'd love to see him get more time with both RT, Virgin Media, whoever. But I just thought that Bernard, unfortunately, I think at one stage he'd referred to Shane Farrell about 6 or 7 times as Griffin. And I just don't think that's good enough, unfortunately.
Yeah, now look, it is what it is, but I do think the coverage of Virgin Media, even during the week, you know, you had Sean Boyd on what's a good Ireland AM, I think, with your man who does the weather, Martin King, and everything. So I do think the effort they're putting into it is good to see. But I saw, speaking of Sean Boyd, Duffer said after the game, Boyd, Conor Kane, Gavin Malloy, Paddy Barrett, Keane Levy, they're not far away from returning to the side. how much of an impact do you think they'll have upon return?
Huge, absolutely huge. Like, you know, Boyd just will bring a different dimension to the team. It means he can play a slightly different way. He's, you know, he's obviously a big boy, so he can play a lot more direct. He just gives you a bit of bite up there as well. Levy, think he's been very good. You know, and he's a little worker and just very tricky, and he's been an exciting player to watch. And then obviously Paddy Barrett is Paddy Barrett, isn't he? He's an absolute tank at the back, and you just feel as safe as houses when he's there, you know. Even when my car is parked outside Tolga, once he's around the ground, I feel like it's safe, you know that way.
You're not in Kevin anymore, Sean. Yeah, no, I did think there was parts of the game on Friday where Sean Boyd was missed. He could have just had the ball, who, you know, a bit of rest boy for the back, and I thought Forrester and that got a hold of the game. And I do think you miss a player like Boyd in those games, you know, someone who can hold the ball up. And, you know, I don't wanna dissect it too much, but I think if Boyd's at the back post and Moylan crosses that in, like you're talking about, you know, maybe being too harsh and hitting it across goalkeeper, I do think Boydie maybe does that. And I think when he gets back, you're going to see a real different dimension in Shells. And Matty Smith, Jack Moylan, they've done an immense job up there. You can't understate that at all. But it'd be good to have the lads back, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, of course. Just as well from the end of the game as well. Having, you know, more artillery on the bench. You know, Boyd, he's played the game at, you know, a good level. I think he knows how to manage a game as well, in terms of, you know, how to bully centre halves and get kind of opposition riled up. And he's been another lad that has come in and, you know, really earned his stripes for Shells. He works so hard. And, you know, I'm excited to see him getting back to full fitness, and hopefully he'll be able to get on the score sheet on a regular basis.
Yeah, so I suppose we move on now to the women's side on Saturday afternoon. A massive victory for them away in Sligo, 6-0 win. On the score sheet was Chrissy Gray, Megan Smith-Lynch, Gemma Quinn on the score sheet twice. And a Noelle Murray penalty was what got the score and underway. It was great link-up from Chrissy Gray and Gemma Quinn. I think Quinn got fouled in the box, didn't she? And Noelle slots the penalty away. Some great quality goals in this game, and the second came from Chrissy Gray in the 14th minute. It was a Megan Smith-Lynch cross, low cross into the box, evaded the Sligo defenders and Gemma Quinn, and it was there for Chrissy Gray to tap in the end. 28 minutes into the game, Gemma Quinn, an assist for Courtney McGuire here, by the way, which was a great pass, finds its way to Quinn, and she just lobs the keeper so well. It was a cracking goal. And then, as I said, Megan Smith-Lynch, free kick straight through past the wall and into the back of the net. Good goal for Megan. And then another great bit of play, I thought, actually, for this goal. And it went down as a McKernan own goal for Sligo, but Siobhan Killeen, Noelle Murray linking up as they have before, to make it 4-0. And it was unfortunate for Sligo because Shells just really, really turned it on. And then Gemma Quinn finished the score and laid on Siobhan Killeen again with another assist there. Shauna, what a game.
Yeah, I'd probably be the opposite of you. I didn't think it was great now, to be honest with you. I didn't think Sligo were up to much. whatever you want, but I wouldn't get too excited about it. I think they're a team that's been struggling this season. And yeah, some fantastic goals. I thought the best of the lot was Christy Gray's goal from that angle was fantastic. And make no mistake about it, Megan Lynch, that was a shot. That wasn't a cross. and no, I thought Gray's just run and to put it in from that angle was great. And I'm delighted for her because she's obviously come over and spent a lot of time on the bench. And I've actually seen her play for the 19s, and she has such a great attitude to kind of step up to the plate, produce the goods against Athlone. And then, you know, since then, I think she's put in great performances. And, you know, for Shells, it's obviously good to get 6 goals, but I wouldn't be putting my money on them in the bookies just yet.
Yeah, I think Chrissy Gray, Sean, she's someone that we've been loving on up in the gantry, isn't it? Her movement and her, I suppose, her passion for the game. She was a great goal as well. And on the day was Gemma Quinn, another team of the week performance for her. Another cracking goal. I thought the lob was as good as what you'd see anywhere all weekend. What have you made of Gemma's return to form?
It's been fantastic. Gemma's just got such a great attitude. I don't think people really appreciate or realise how difficult it can be to step up to National League. Especially, like, we've seen young ones who've played international football at 17s, 19s, step up to seniors and struggle, can't even get through 90 minutes. You know, Gemma's not only come from playing in the league here in Dublin, but, like, she hadn't played before that for a long time. So, you know, it was a big thing for her to step in there, to put her confidence on the line and put herself out there. And the one thing I think that's really benefited her, she's so open to feedback and she wants to improve and she's just grateful for every moment. And it's fantastic to see her score goals because she's just such a team player and she's always willing to learn. And, like, you know, when I spoke to Noel and he asked me, did I know any strikers? I probably could have named 10 from the league. And I said it to him. I said, look, Gemma Quinn is banging in goals week in, week out. She's doing it in her sleep. Give her a chance. So I'm very proud to watch her every week because she's someone I grew up with and went to school with. And I mean, she's, when we were younger, she was 20 times the footballer I ever was. So I'm just getting the moment that she deserves, you know.
Yeah, Rachel Graham, a good friend of yours, Shauna, was captain on the day. Herself and Noel Murray have been absolute stalwarts to this club. I suppose, how much do they mean to Shells to have them there? Because you look at coming off the bench, was young players, and then, you know, the likes of the experience with Siobhan Killeen and Kerry Letman coming on. How crucial have Rachel Graham and Noel Murray been to Shells?
Yeah, I suppose I have to speak about them individually because they're two very different players. Like, Noelle's just, she's a magician. I was only talking to someone the other day and I don't think we'll ever see a player like her again in the league. She just has such a raw, natural ability. And every time she gets in the ball, you just don't know what's going to happen. And they're the most exciting players, the ones that everyone wants to watch. And you know, I think we need more Noels in the game because that's what's going to get people wanting to tune in to TG4 or whatever other stations the matches are on. So I think she's just fantastic for the young girls to see, to watch her, to look at how she plays the game, you know, how she reads the game, you know, how she enjoys being on the ball. I think if we had more players of Noel's technical ability, we probably would have made World Cups centuries ago. The Rachel, I think, is someone that again probably goes under the radar a little bit, but she, for me, she's the type of player that is without a doubt the best player in the game. She's like kind of like a Karen Duggan in a sense that, like, she's always an eight, you know what I mean? She always performs at an eight. Most players are kind of like fives, sixes, they might have a 10 or a 9 one week and then they're back down to 5-6s. Rachel Graham just has eights every week. And I think, you know, she's just that player that it's no nonsense. She's willing to kind of get her feet dirty. She's willing to make tackles, do the covering. And she's kind of just, she's been a bit more of a silent captain compared to Perla, but, like, she leads by example and she's just the ultimate professional as well. So yeah, look, this Rachel could go, I think, for another 5 or 6 years. And it's just great to see her still playing. I wish I had that energy and enthusiasm myself.
Yeah, it's a level of consistency, isn't it, from Rachel week in, week out. You always know it on up in the gantry as well. As you mentioned there, no Pyrrha Slattery the weekend, Maggie Pearce and Jesse Sabledon at the back for Shells. You had a bit of a Maggie Pearce love in there during the week, Sean. How impressed have you been with her?
Yeah, I'm actually in the process of starting the Maggie Pearce fan club. I'll be open to any fan applications, supporter applications in the coming weeks. But look, she's been an absolute joy to watch. I think she's just come in and not just added to Shells, but the league, just watching her play. Like, she's obviously played right back, centre midfield, centre half. And sometimes you're looking at players and you're going like, oh yeah, they're a great right back, and they go into centre midfield and you're going, oh God, oh Jesus, you know, that was a bad performance, and stick to being a right back. But she just makes every position look so easy. Our passing ability, I think if anything, Maggie will probably learn a bit more about the physical side of the game here in Ireland. But she's an exciting player, and I just think, like, from watching her, and I appreciate her from being a defender myself, but just how casual she is on the ball at the back and how easy she makes it look playing out from the back. And like, she never has to make tackles because she reads the game so well. And that's something I think that a lot of fans maybe don't really understand, is like, we watch players going in and they only slide tackles or crunch and tackles, and we think, oh yeah, that's what a defender is. You know, they're the best defenders, the one that make stem kind of tackles. But in actual fact, it's the Maggie Pearces that are the best defenders, because they read the game so well, they don't have to make those kind of late last gasp tackles.
Another goal for Megan Smith Lynch as well, Shauna. I think she has loads of goals this season compared to last season. What has been the change for Megan Smith Lynch this season?
She's playing more.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, she's getting more game time. She's obviously, you know, starting games, and again, as I said, like, she's playing with players around her, like Maggie and Gray and Noelle, who are getting the ball out to her a lot. Megan's a player, she's great ability. I mean, when her and Noelle just click, it's great to watch. And like, I think Megan is another player that younger players can learn a lot of in terms of her technical ability and how comfortable she is on the ball and the positions that she takes up. She doesn't need any her head blown up anymore. She'll be talking about these guys.
It was a nice little cameo for Siobhan Killeen back on playing terms with Shells. I know she was out, I think she was struggling with COVID not too long ago. Two assists for her on the day. Another good friend of yours, Shauna. How happy were you to see her back in the pitch?
Ah, delighted. Fantastic athlete. Just a great person to have around. You know, she brings a real lightheartedness to the dressing room and off the pitch and on the pitch. In training, she brings tempo and energy, and she plays kind of, she trains the way she plays. And like, I just think it would be great for the younger girls to see the type of player that Siobhan Killeen is and what she brings to the squad. And I think she's going to get better and better over the season. Like, again, she's gone off and played that other game for a little while, and now she's back playing football, and it's going to take her a little bit of time to get back into a rhythm again, and obviously with COVID. But I mean, she probably still plays 20 times better than I do, even with COVID. You know, I just think for her, it's about being patient and giving herself time. But she's a big game player. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if she turns up majorly this weekend.
Yeah, of course, involved in three All-Ireland panels with Dublin. And I was looking at her stats the other week. I think this is now before she came back to Shells. But 55 appearances, 23 goals for Shells is nothing to be sniffed at. And she's added to it this season already. That's a great segue, by the way, Shauna, because we are playing P-Mount the weekend. Shells versus P-Mount live on LOI TV. You'll hear myself and Shauna again, if you can listen to us, if you can bear us for 90 minutes. P-Mount, of course, top of the league, Shauna. The last time these sides played in the league was earlier in the season. P-Mount went 1-0 up through a goal through Aaron McLaughlin, and then it was second half, Shelbourne, wasn't it? Megan Smith-Lynch with two, Alex Kavanagh and Maggie Pearce. 4-1 in the end to Shells. I suppose a bit of a shock result at the time. What's your thoughts about the game the weekend?
I think we'll see a completely different game. For some reason, P-Mount seem to like playing Shells and Tolka more than they do out in Green Oak. Maybe there's less pressure on you when you're playing away from home. But I think they've kind of hit their stride a little bit. You know, and there is the pressure's on Shells, you know, in terms of they can't drop points. They have to go out and win. And for P-Mount, they're probably in the driver's seat a little bit more. But no doubt James will want to push on. And I mean, the quality that they've kept, like when people were saying about the players they lost in the off season and how it was going to ruin them, and I actually thought the opposite, because I think they managed to keep such a great bunch of players, attitude, ability, quality in Aaron, Saif, Karen obviously is, you know, a legend of the league, and brought Chloe Maloney back in, who was a strong centre half, and then Nemo and goal, and for me, Tara O'Hanlon as well is one of the best players, best left back, I think, left sided player in the league, but also a great player just in general for Piemont. So I think it's going to be very tough for Shells. I think Piemont might be difficult to break down.
Piemont unbeaten, Shauna, since that 4-1 loss to Shells. The only time they dropped points was against Shamrock Rovers as well, a draw there. Last season, the FAI Cup, Sean, it was a big game between Shells and Piemont. Of course, we were both on commentary for that game. I think it was Heather O'Reilly's debut, but it was a woman from Coolock who robbed the headlines that day. Gemma Quinn got two goals that day, after Lana McAvoy got two and had Piemont up 2-0. There's been some crackers between the sides over the past few years. Like, there's been some great games. If you had to predict the game on Saturday, Sean, I am going to put you on the spot, so be ready. What are you going with?
1-0 Piemont.
Ah, very pessimistic.
Yeah, Noelle Murray, she loves these games. You know, she absolutely thrives in them. And I think I always say, like, sometimes the worst thing that can happen before a big game is a big result. You know, going out and having a 6-0 win can sometimes kind of, you know, dull your senses a little bit. I always like a shock before a big game, and something to kind of bring everyone back down to earth. So that's why I think I'm a little bit pessimistic. But I also think, like, Piemont are confident. They're, as you said, they're unbeaten. When you get into that rhythm, it can sometimes be very hard to knock a team out of it. If Shells can keep Aaron McLaughlin quiet and keep Saive quiet, I think, you know, they have a chance. But, you know, like, looking at Kev's stats there, you know, during the day earlier, you know, it doesn't read well for Shells. They're conceding in the first 15 minutes of most goal halves that they've conceded, and then or the first 15 minutes of the second half. And when you look at Piemont, like, they're so strong and dominant. They come out of traps. I don't know what James to say to them in the dressing room, but they come out of traps like, you know, they're ready to go to war. So I think the Shells, I hope that they've worked on that this week. If not, I think it'll be a challenging day for them.
Yeah, a win for Shells could potentially put them top. Shamrock Rovers are at home to Galway on the same day. So should Galway pick up a win there like they did in Talca earlier in the season, it could potentially see Shells go top. So it is a massive game, of course. I believe season ticket holders have free entry to the game, as always. There is tickets available online for this Piemont game, should you not be a season ticket holder. So definitely do get yourself down to the ground, if not for anything, to not have to listen to me and Shauna. But yeah, definitely do get yourself down to Talca Saturday afternoon. Shells Piemont live on LOI TV as well. The other game for the Shells men's side on Friday evening, Shauna, live on RTE 2. Shells versus Bows. Last time out, Shells got the 1-0 win in Talca Park. It was the Talca takeover, as some Bows fans dubbed the Bows. Keane Levy, who I suppose shut them up in a sense and gave Shells 1-0 win. You look at the game that preceded that in the Cup last season, the FAI Cup, was myself and Stewie on commentary for that. Sean Boyd and Jack Moylan made a 3-0 to Shells. Shells went through to the next round of the Cup. Can you envision a response, I suppose, to the Pats game? You did say you like a bit of a shock before a big game. The game just gone would have been a bit of a shock to Duffer's side, having been unbeaten for so long. Do you expect a response on Friday?
Yeah, of course. I think you know, the lads should be up for the game. Like, you don't need a shock to be up for the type of game like this. They should be relishing the opportunity to go and play in the Shells Bows derby, and I think that It's going to be difficult. Daily Mount is always a difficult place to go. The crowd that you know Bowers pull in, and it's kind of like a cauldron. I think Devine's done a good job there so far this season. They're obviously without Keith Buckley. I think he's racked up a fair few yellow cards. He'll be a big loss to them because, you know, the passion he brings to it. But equally, like, there's no place to hide for Shells and the lads. I think the last game we played them at Daly Mount, it was like a really bad error in a back pass that kind of led to the goal. So I do think the lads will have to be at their Sunday best. And I also want to say, like, I feel like Conor Cairns has been hard done by not being called into the Irish squad. I think he's up there with James Talbot and Brian Maher in terms of the quality he's brought to the league this year. And he's been an absolute joy to watch. I couldn't go through this podcast, Adzi, without giving him a shout out.
Yeah, no, look, you do right. Bowers with two losses against Rovers and Derry, two draws with UCD in Dundalk, and one win over Cork in the last five. And as I said, Shells unbeaten in one loss in nine, following the defeat to Pats on Friday. How do you see this one going, Shana?
There's something telling me that it might be Bowers' day, but I'd love to see El Tyreek get a goal.
Yeah,
a nice set piece that he's put in against us many times. But I think it could be a close one. I'm gonna say 1-1.
Yeah, I don't know. I've a feeling, like, much like the game on Saturday, I think these are big games. But I also feel to an extent that the pressure's on Bowers on Friday, considering they're the ones going for the title charge. I've never seen a team win the league 5 games into a season, but they're definitely one of them. And I think there's more pressure on them than there is Shells here. And, you know, I do believe that... I probably go with a 1-1 draw as well, to be fair. I'd love to see Tariq get a goal. I'd love to see a few of the lads come back as well. But, yeah, two big games this weekend for Shells. Definitely do. Get involved, you can.
Adzi, come here. I was going to ask you, have they not won it already?
Well, this is the thing, Seanan. So we believe. I thought it was over 3 games into the season, but I don't know. Two big games again, as I said. Shells and Bowers live in RT2. To the 450 people that got a ticket for the away end, do make as much noise as you possibly can. And I know the Bar Talk is going to be open for that game as well. So if you can't get to Daly Mount, do try your best to get to Talk in some way, shape or form. I suppose before we head off, a bit of housekeeping. Tickets for Drogheda and Shells and Sligo's trip to Talca Park, their tickets for them are both on sale right now. The games are on the 5th of June and the 9th of June, respectively. So do, if you're not a season ticket holder, do get your hands on tickets for those games as the summer football kicks off, I suppose. And I suppose the last bit of housekeeping, Shelbourne FC was thrilled to announce the launch of the Shelbourne FC Pride Cup, an annual tournament celebrating diversity in our community and in Irish football. This year's event, called the Five-A-Side for Pride, promises to be fun and inclusive tournament that will take place in Talca Park on Sunday, June 18th, 2023, from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. The Pride Cup 2023 will bring together 16 teams consisting of Shelbourne legends, senior men and women, as well as talented Ireland internationals, clubs and groups from the local community and more. It will serve as a platform to showcase the incredible talent within the LGBT plus community, while promoting and welcoming an all-inclusive environment for all participants. All are welcome to participate in this tournament. A new Shelbourne Pride Party will also form part of the club's expanded Pride Festival events, with a night time event taking place at Talca Park on June 9th. Shelbourne will also be marching in the Dublin Pride Parade this year, with all facets of the club, men's, women's, academy and football for all inclusion teams, flying the red and rainbow flag on Saturday, June the 24th, 2023. Shelbourne will also launch a limited edition Rainbow Reds t-shirt, with all proceeds going to support a Dublin-based LGBT plus charity. I suppose a massive shout out, as always, to John McGarren, who's, you know, I think we're blessed to have him at Shells. He's always at the forefront of these things for Shells, does a fantastic job and everything. And yeah, the Shelbourne FC Pride Cup is open to all. We are encouraging clubs, groups of friends and work colleagues to register and take part in the tournament. Yeah, I suppose get involved as much as you can. massive launch of pride, I suppose, at Shells this year, Sean. It's great to see.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Myself and Stewie Byrne, we put together a team to enter it. We've been in our pre-season training camp now for the past 2 or 3 months, and we're raring to go. There'll be no, I suppose, friendship once the whistle blows. But on the gaze.
I suppose my invite got left in the post, Sean. I did it. Thanks very much. We'll see how it is.
You know what, Adzi, we actually have enough corner flags this time.
Yourself included, I suppose. Sean, thanks a million for joining us this week. As I said, get involved this week. A big week for Shells, for the men's and women's side. So do get involved anyway, shape or form you can. And I suppose, yeah, thanks for joining us this week. You'll hear from us from Saturday if you do tune in to LOI TV. And yeah, as ever, thanks a million, Sean.
No worries, Adzi.
Up the Reds.
This podcast was brought to you by Off the Ball, official media partner of Shelburne FC. For all the latest sports news, visit otbsports.com. Rest in the sunset, way out on the sea. Oh, carry my loved one home safely to